First, I would like to thank Kentaro and Boris for making this happen. I postponed my visit at least two times because of the flu. So, technically speaking, well, it's a talk about mathematics related to mirror symmetry, not mirror symmetry in the sense of physics. And more precisely, I will discuss two ways in which integral affine structures appear in relation to mirror symmetry for Calabi-Yau manifolds. More generally, I will speak about the approach to mirror symmetry, which was suggested by Maxim Kontsevich and myself in two papers. So this is an archive address. Okay, this is more or less the only transparency which I will be using, so just take a brief look at it. It's a relationship between different parts of the story, and if I would have more time, I will give a talk on each of them. But mainly I will be talking about this part of the picture. All right, so let me switch to a blackboard, and I will return to this transparency at the end of my talk. So first of all, I need to recall what the Calabi-Yau manifold is. So let us start with an arbitrary field, even not necessarily of characteristic zero, but in my today talk, there will be two main examples. One is the field of complex numbers, and the other one is the field of Lorentz series in one variable. So, a Calabi-Yau manifold or this field is a smooth projective variety which has trivial determinant bundle. Or equivalently trivial canonical class. So in the case when the ground field is the field of complex numbers, there is a little bit more general definition, which is basically not a definition, but Yau's theorem. So it says that if we have a complex Calabi-Yau manifold, and if we fix Keller metric, or rather a class, a homology class, of a Keller metric, then one can find the Ricci flat metric in the with the same Keller class. So there are two different descriptions of the class of Calabi-Yau manifolds. One is pure algebra geometric, and the other one, which holds for complex numbers only is differential geometry. So these two different pictures leads to two different approaches to mirror symmetry. For example, physicists, of course, restrict themselves to complex Calabi-Yau manifolds, and physicists believe that with a given complex Calabi-Yau manifold, they can associate two theories called A model and B model, Master Witten. So one depends on the symplectic, or more generally, complexified Keller structure of X, and the other one, the B model, depends on the complex structure of X. So all this can be done under the assumption that the volume of X is very large. So mirror symmetry, well, it's not important for us how to build these theories even on the level of physics. There is no mathematically rigorous construction of either of them for general Calabi-Yau manifolds. So mirror symmetry is a kind of a duality in the class of Calabi-Yau manifold. So it says that for, again, it's a rough formulation, so I believe experts forgive me. For a generic Calabi-Yau manifold X, there is so-called dual Calabi-Yau manifold X check such that A theory for X is equivalent to B theory for X dual and vice versa. So you can take this equivalence of theories, whatever it means, as a definition of dual Calabi-Yau manifolds, because they can be topologically very different. Now, this is a short reminder. Now, another part of a reminder before I really start my talk is what is called homological mirror symmetry. So in 1993, Kontsevich suggested homological mirror symmetry program in order to explain equivalence of A and B models. And basically, the idea was to encode each of them as a certain category. And so he suggested to associate with a given Calabi-Yau manifold X two categories. So this has a special name, Fukaya. Category Fukaya is a Japanese mathematician who constructed this category with some gaps, which he filled later. Fukaya category, again, it depends on the symplectic structure of X. And basically, it can be constructed not necessarily for a Calabi-Yau, but for any symplectic manifold. And the other one is, roughly speaking, the derived category coherence sheaf on X, and certainly it depends on the complex structure and can be constructed not necessarily for Calabi-Yau, but it's just a very general thing. So then according to homological mirror symmetry, if it's formulated properly, the equivalence of A and B model to dual Calabi-Yaus should be the equivalence of two categories. And the name homological refers to the fact that F of X and D of X are not ordinary categories, but so-called A-infinity categories. This means that the spaces of morphisms in these categories are complexes, and say composition of morphisms is associative only up to higher homotopy. So it's a kind of a homological algebra. So that's the name why it's homological. All right. So there is an obvious similarity, at least pictorial, between this physics and mathematics part. But mathematically, homological mirror symmetry, well, if it's formulated properly and developed, well, to a sophisticated level, should explain all numerical predictions of ordinary mirror symmetry, in particular count of say a rational curves in a given Calabi-Yau, which was the first application of mirror symmetry to mathematics. So there are several obvious problems related to homological mirror symmetry program and to, well, any attempt to formulate mirror symmetry rigorously. First, one needs to define what is a dual Calabi-Yau. There is no general mathematical definition. There are examples and classes of examples. But in order to formulate, for example, this equivalence properly, we need to know what does this mean. Now, second, to define these two categories. So there is no problem with D of X, but as for the definition of the Foucault category, it suffers several deficiencies even up to now. Secondly, if it's done, because this and this look as rather technical problems, one need to do something, construct mirror symmetry functor for example this direction, and the last but not least, prove that this functor is an equivalence of A infinity categories. My talk, technically speaking, is related to this part. But it's certainly, after the discussion, you will see that it is related to 2 and 3. And after that, it will be clear how one can try to prove that mirror symmetry functor is an equivalence. All right. So this is more or less the plan of what I would like to discuss today. So our approach to, well, to mirror symmetry is based on two different pictures for degenerating Calabi-Yau manifolds. The reason why we need to consider not individual Calabi-Yaus but families, degenerating families, it's visible even here, because large volume means that, well, what does it mean, large volume? How large? So perhaps we need to consider a family of Calabi-Yaus or a sequence of Calabi-Yaus such that the volume tends to infinity, something like this. Even here, with original definition of Fukaya, one can observe that the Fukaya category is a category over the field of formal power series, where T has the meaning of the exponent of the symplectic area of the curve. In the Fukaya category, which I'm not going to discuss today, but just to say two phrases. So in the Fukaya category, objects are Lagrangian submanifolds with flat bundles on them, and morphisms are defined in a morph type style. So if you forget about bundles and look just for Lagrangian submanifolds, A-brains in terminology of physics, in order to count morphisms, we consider maps of a holomorphic disk with two marked points on the boundary such that one piece is mapped into one Lagrangian, another piece of the boundary is mapped to the other one, and a holomorphic disk is somewhere in between. So, and such a disk gives an input in the space of morphism with this weight. So then basically we consider generating functions of holomorphic maps of a disk with several points in the boundary. So it is not known whether this series converge, so in general it's just formal series in one parameter, depending on one variable. Okay, so if this is a category over the field of rational over the field of Lorentz series, it is not clear how it can be equivalent to the derived category of coherent sheaves, which does not depend on any parameter. Symplectic geometers call it Novikov ring, but in fact it's just an example of a non-Archimedean valuation field, and I will explain why it's better to think about this field as about valuation field. Yes, if everything converges, which I am in doubt whether it's the case. For Fana, yes, it is. But for Calabi-Yau, I'm not sure. Anyway, it's an open question. If it converges, then perhaps we can return to original conjecture, which deals with individual Calabi-Yaus. But again, I'm not sure that it can be done because of this large volume restriction, even in the case of physically defined n equal to superconformal field theories. So, anyway, one suggestion is to consider not individual Calabi-Yaus but families. Then we immediately have a problem on this side, because if we have a derived category of coherent sheaves, it is not clear what the family means, what's the family of triangulated categories. It's not a very well defined mathematical object. So then one need to do some work here, and suggestion is to consider certain families of collabials, which we call maximally degenerate, and make some conjectures about the limiting behavior of these families, and to formulate everything in terms of limiting data. So that's a basic idea. This idea is motivated, well, by several sources, but not the last is a picture of degenerating conformal field theories, which, if I'll have time, I will explain at the very end what the picture for conformal field theories, but as for now it will be pure mathematical. It's part of the story. It's a reconstruction problem, which I will discuss. So first I will define the class of collabial manifolds. An example is, well, many examples. For example, we can take quartic or quintic, like take in CP3, take a generic homogeneous polynomial of degree 4, consider such a family, and this is an example. Another example, even more simple, because abelian varieties in this sense are collabial manifolds. So let's take just an elliptic curve. So let's take the modular parameter tau, and so the degeneration as imaginary part of tau goes to plus infinity, so will be an example of maximal degeneration. Now the formal definition, maybe I need more space. So let's consider a family analytic family of collabial manifolds of complex dimension n. So it can be thought of as a single collabial. It's the same as a single collabial of the field, say, of germs of meromorphic functions at zero. Because we do not know what's happened in zero. There might be very bad degeneration at zero. Now, since the determinant bundle is trivial, we can fix a holomorphic volume form, top degree form, trivialization of the bundle. So holomorphic volume form, let me somehow denote this family. So this is a form on this single collabial. It's the same as a family of holomorphic forms. It's the same thing. And using Yao's theorem, we can choose reach a flat Keller metric as long as we fix a Keller class here. So fix Keller class of X. It can be said in a little bit more algebraic way. Just choose a class in the ample cone of X. So then we have a family of collabial matrix on each XT. So it's a Ricci flat metric. Fine. Now, the maximal degeneration means that the volume of xt behaves in a prescribed way as t goes to infinity. So, namely, if you compute the volume, so this is a standard volume form up to a scalar, it's the same as we can get from the Keller metric on xt. So it's up to non-zero constant, is required to behave like maximal possible power of a logarithm of a parameter. So n is a dimension of x. And this factor is irrelevant because we can change the k by changing the parameter. In general, we can choose a model for, we can compactify this degenerating family, choosing, for example, divisors with normal crossings, and then the behavior of the volume will be with some m which is less or equal than n. So it is required that it has maximal degeneration, so it has maximal possible power. It can be, it is equivalent to pure algebra geometric condition that the monodromy operator has maximal unipotent, has the only Jordan block of the maximal possible size n. So the monodromy is conjugate to this. This metric condition is equivalent to the maximal unipotency condition. So here it can be seen in the example of elliptic curve, because the area of the corresponding torus, well, it's a product of this and this, so up to a constant it's a logarithm of t, where t is related to the modular parameter in this way. So I started with the family. So a family of complex collabials. So then I would like to think of it as about single collabial or the field of meromorphic germs of meromorphic functions, and this field actually is a subfield inside. So although technically speaking I consider families, but in fact I would like to say that I have a single collabial over this field. All right. So this is the main assumption of maximal degeneration. It's kind of a mathematical a reformulation of what is a large volume limit. There might be. The condition is indeed that, yes, you are right, that this is not equal to zero, so this means that there exists a block of this dimension. And this is always equal to zero. So, but actually I believe that, you're right. Okay, so Now, for this maximally degenerating Calabi yaws, there are two conjecturally equivalent descriptions of the limit, and I will explain both of them. One picture, which I call metric picture, is related to A model, and it is useful for A model purposes. And the other one, which is related to non-Archimedean analytic geometry, it is more on the B side of mirror symmetry. So, metric picture of degeneration. So the motivation comes from Gromov's theory of collapsing Riemannian manifolds. It has striking parallel to the picture of collapsing conformal field theories, which I mentioned at the beginning of my talk. So here is the idea. Let's rescale the metric so that the diameter of each Calabi yaw is bounded, say fixed. We can always do that without breaking the condition that Ricci curvature is zero. Now, what do we have? We have if there is a metric, it's a Calabi yaw, it's a compact Riemannian manifold, so we can compute the diameter as metric space, maximal distance between. So we have a family of matrix, well, of manifolds, well, Riemannian manifolds of fixed dimension, complex dimension n, so real dimension 2n, so bounded diameter, in fact fixed, and Ricci curvature is bounded from below. In fact, it's equal to zero because it's Calabi yaw. This is a situation which Gromov considered in his theory of collapsing Riemannian manifolds. So this means that we think about these manifolds as about compact metric spaces on the classes of equivalence of compact metric spaces. There is a Gromov-Hausdorff metric. This means that we have a family, and the Ricci curvature of each member of the family is bounded by the same constant from below. In this particular case, this constant is equal to zero because they all Ricci flat. But the general Gromov theory deals with the situation whether either Ricci or sectional curvature of a Riemannian manifold is bounded from below. And the question he asked, and after him many other people like Chigir, Kolding, well, it's an industry. Actually, Fukaya himself studied this circle of questions. The question is, what can be the limit? How to describe the limit? Limit in which sense? There is a Gromov-Hausdorff metric on compact metric spaces, and we consider this as compact metric spaces and ask whether the limit does exist. This is an easy part because of Gromov precompactness theorem. But next question is whether it's a manifold, and it's a difficult question. So there are several results on what can be the limit, but no one of them can be applied to the case of Calabi yaw manifolds. Surprisingly, or not surprisingly, the answer is not open, is not known. So we made a conjecture, geometric conjecture, which has been checked in two cases. One is more or less trivial. It's a case of a billion varieties. And another one is a case of K3 surfaces, which has been checked by Mark Gross and Wilson. And the conjecture was confirmed. Maybe an example of Gromov, just let me to illustrate.
Sorry, what
I will write it down because it will take some time, but example of Gromov-Hausdorff convergence, just a geometric picture. If we consider flat torus, well, elliptic curve, if you like, and with a small meridian, epsilon goes to zero, then it collapses to a circle. This is an example of Gromov-Hausdorff collapse. There are examples of non-collapsing. Non-collapsing metric spaces, but this is not the case. So a conjecture. So there is a limit in Gromov-Hausdorff metric such that, and there will be several conditions on the limiting space. So a priori, this is a compact metric space. So B contains an open smooth as an open smooth subset, a Riemannian manifold, which I denote B smooth, of real dimension n. The Hausdorff dimension of the complement is less or equal than n minus 2. Which means that the singular set, which is a complement to the non-singular one, is at least codimension 2. Next, conjectures are related to this smooth part of Gromov-Hausdorff collapse. B smooth carries an integral affine structure. So affine structure is given by a torsion-free flat connection here, and integral means, roughly speaking, that the monodromy of this affine of this connection is integral, so it belongs to GLNZ cross RN. So it's a corollary monodromy. Let me denote this connection nabla, connection which defines affine coordinates. So monodromy belongs to this group. Or equivalently, there is a lattice in each tangent space. We can choose a lattice which is a covariant with respect to this monodromy. All right, and the last condition refers to the metric, Riemannian metric on the smooth part. Let me denote this metric G B smooth. So this metric has a potential, which means that in affine coordinates, it can be written as a Hessian of the convex function h, and moreover, the determinant is constant. So this is a real version of Monge-Ampere equation. This one is not. B is compact, but B smooth is not compact. You mean many solutions to Monge-Ampere? Yes. In general, yes. Yes. So this conjecture works in one direction. It says that if you have a family of Calabi-Yau manifolds with certain restrictions on the degeneration, then we can canonically construct these data. Now the question you are asking, it's rather the opposite. So how many data can we have such that we can reconstruct somehow maximally degenerating family of Calabi-Yaus to this data? No? So if as infinity you mean this set, I have no idea how it can look in general. It's a question. I can give another talk on that. So actually, if you have an integral affine structure, perhaps there might be very few, at least in lower dimension, there might be very few. At least the singularities of this integral affine structure can be classified. I will tell you more about two-dimensional case. For example, in two-dimensional case, it's just n minus 2 is 0, so you have just some number of points on something which is two-dimensional. And the moduli space of these affine structures is finite dimensional. So the types of singularities can be described, at least in two-dimensional case. But in general, I don't know whether this singular set, even a PL manifold or something like that. So there is no structure theorems on the singular set. So then I don't know the answer to your question. All right. This limiting data this bismuth Riemannian manifold which satisfied 2 and 3, we suggest to call integral Monge-Ampere manifold. Integral Monge-Ampere manifold. So if we have such an integral Monge-Ampere manifold, we can construct a non-compact Calabi-Yau right away. Namely, we take say the tangent bundle and factorize. This is a covariant lattice by a covariant lattice. So if you have an integral affine structure, then we have each tangent space a lattice, and so you transform covariantly with respect to the changes of affine coordinates. So then we have a torus bundle. In this form it's local, but it can be formulated in more invariant way, like vanishing of Ricci Karoshi. Basically, it's a real version of the vanishing of Ricci Karoshi, which is again it can be written in local coordinates in this way, but basically it's a manifestation of the fact that the first Chern class of the determinant bundle is zero because it's trivial. So, and this is the real version. So you can restate it in a more invariant way. So we have a torus vibration. This is one thing, and this real Monge-Ampere equation indeed implies that there is a naturally defined nowhere vanishing volume form. The fact that we have an integral affine structure gives us a complex structure on the total space of this torus vibration. So we can reconstruct a non-compact Calabi-Yau, and there is another conjecture which I'm not going to formulate precisely. It says that metrically XT is metrically close outside of some singular subset. It's metrically close to this torus total space of this torus vibration. It's a metric version of Strominger-Yau-Zaslow conjecture. So the difference is that I do not claim any behavior of Calabi-Yau itself. I do not claim that it's foliated by special Lagrangian tori. It's everything is stated in terms of limiting data. All right. So now if we have an integral Monge-Ampere manifold, we can change the affine structure to the dual one, keeping the metric unchanged. It's an involution on the set of such spaces. So changing the affine structure to a dual one, it's the same as to change the toric fiber to the dual one. So then from the duality on the class of integral Monge-Ampere manifolds, we get duality of the corresponding torus vibrations. So this is exactly the way how Strominger-Yau and Zaslow interpreted mirror symmetry. So we have dual torus vibration, and now the conjecture, which can has been checked in all known examples, is that if we have the dual family, dual in the sense of physics, is the dual family of Calabi-Yau, then it converges to the dual Monge-Ampere manifold, which means it has the same B, the same B smooth as the Riemannian manifold, but the dual affine structure. And this means that it's metrically close to the dual torus vibration. So then mirror symmetry geometrically is indeed T-duality. All right. Okay, this is a metric part of the story. Yes, this is true. Yeah. So, in fact, you can do the following. Yes. You can take the cotangent bundle instead of the tangent. You have a torus vibration. Now, using the metric, you can identify this and this. So then you can speak about dual affine structure. Technically speaking, to have an affine structure, you need to have a connection on the tangent, not on the cotangent bundle. But since you have a metric, you can identify them. Then basically what is said is that the moduli space of A brains and the moduli space of B brains are the same as metric spaces, but with a different, actually with the dual affine structures. So two interpretations of the same moduli space are differ just by changing the affine structure to the dual one. All right. Now, the non-Archimedean picture for the same conjecturally equivalent to this metric picture. All right, so actually something is written here. So I would like to think about this field and about this one as about valuation field. So this means that, well, it carries a norm order of a germ of neuromorphic function or order of the Laurent series at zero. So it's a multiplicative norm. And moreover, it's non-Archimedean, which means that we have this inequality, and multiplicative means this. And normal zero is zero by definition. All right. So then the maximally degenerate family gives us a single variety of the valuation field, and I prefer using this embedding, consider it as a single Calabi-Yau of this valuation field. So it's a basic setup. Now, if we have a Calabi-Yau manifold over a complete valuation field, we can do several constructions with it. First, we can associate a non-Archimedean analytic space following Berkovich, for example. Well, I don't have time to give the definitions for those who is not familiar with it. Roughly speaking, Berkovich construction mimics Gelfand approach to C-star algebras and their spectra as sets of maximal ideals. So if we replace a ground field of complex numbers, and in the case of C-star algebras, by another complete field, it's a Banach field, it's complete with respect to this norm. Then we can construct a kind of a spectrum of a commutative Banach algebra over this field. Now, if we have a variety, then it gives rise to a sheaf of regular functions, and each fiber of this sheaf, its germ, can be thought of a kind of a Banach algebra over this complete field. And so we can use Gelfand-type construction, actually what Berkovich did, to glue together this local spectra of fibers to get some analytic space. So it's a ringed space. It's a topological space equipped with a sheaf of analytic functions. This is all what we need to know. It's state elliptic curve. So if our analytic space is not arbitrary, but it's a Calabi-Yau, then there is to this analytic space, we can associate its skeleton, which is a PL space, or polyhedron, if you like. So let me give two answers instead of giving a general definition. If I'll have time, I will explain the construction. But in the case when X is an elliptic curve, then the skeleton is a circle. In the case when X is a K3 surface, say elliptically fibered over CP1, then the skeleton is a two-dimensional sphere. So, as I illustrated some time ago, when we have maximally degenerated family of elliptic curves, the Gromov-Hausdorff limit is a circle. And Gross and Wilson checked that in the case of elliptically fibered K3 surfaces, a Gromov-Hausdorff limit is a two-dimensional sphere. And conjecturally, the skeleton is always homeomorphic to the base of torus vibration, to this Gromov-Hausdorff limit space B. Now, this skeleton, well, roughly speaking, just to say, just maybe one word, how it can be constructed. So we have a family of Calabi-Yaus over the punctured disk. So it's analytic, but it can have singularities over the fiber t equals zero. So we can choose a model, like compactify by a divisor with normal crossings, and construct a Clemens polytope, which is a polytope with vertices which are divisors, and faces are multiple intersections of these divisors. This is not a skeleton. This is a some CW complex. But then we can choose divisors such that the holomorphic volume form has a minimal degree of pole or zero at this divisor. And so this is a skeleton. It's a sub polyhedron in this polyhedron of incidence of normal crossing of a chosen model. It's a sub polyhedron, but the theorem is that this skeleton is a birational invariant. Well, for elliptically fibered, we need to consider a kind of a generic maximally degenerated family. And then, yes, the answer is...
Otherwise, it's not defined, but it is very different.
What means otherwise? Actually, as for up to a homeomorphism, it's canonically defined, but there is an additional structure. You see here, this part 2 says that there is a dense open subset which carries an integral affine structure. So far there is no affine structure here, and the affine structure does depend on the family. In fact, there is an affine structure on the dense open subset of the skeleton, and this is true because at least in the examples there is a continuous map from the analytic space to its skeleton such that, well, it satisfies the technical condition that it's Stein, which means that each point has an open neighborhood with the preimage being a Stein subspace. Well, it's not important for us, but from this condition it follows, there is a theorem that on a dense open subset B smooth, well, skeleton smooth, there is an integral affine structure. And conjecturally, there is a homeomorphism of the skeleton with the Gromov-Hausdorff limit, which maps this onto B smooth, identifying integral affine structures. So in the case of K3 surface, elliptically fibered, if we take a generic family, then the skeleton will be a two-dimensional sphere. Skeleton smooth will be two-dimensional sphere minus 24 points. And the affine structure has a monodromy around each of these singular points, which is conjugate to a Jordan block of maximal size in this case.
This would be the case for an elliptic vibration
with 54 different
singular
points. Yeah. The monodromy gets changed. So the monodromy. Well, you can have. There is a theorem which can be proved rigorously. It says that if we have, it's from the other side, if we have a sphere with finitely many points and the integral affine structure on the complement of this finite subset such that the monodromy is conjugate to the maximal, then the number of points is 24. So it's a kind of a Gauss-Bonnet, affine Gauss-Bonnet theorem. What else? Actually, my time is up, and certainly there is much more to say there is a striking analogy between the story and the theory of classical integrable systems. So when you consider clearly the torus vibration is an example, I mean, there is a symplectic structure here which comes from the isomorphism of this with this. In the theory of integrable systems, we consider singular Lagrangian foliations, and the question is how to classify singularities. It's one, I believe, still open questions. And it's quite interesting. With maximally degenerating family of Calabi-Yaus, we can at least conjecturally associate an integrable system. Perhaps a class of singularities which arise in this way, singularities of this affine structure, are the same as in the theory of integrable systems, where people consider only topological classification, not analytic. There are many analogies between two theories, between this analytic theory and integrable systems. And it is related to what is called tropical geometry, but I don't have time to explain it here, so maybe let me stop.